and welcome to Crippled System, episode 307. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
We're not canceled.
So I just read it. ATC is, you know, because Adepticon is words and talk. I just read a thing talk about that if they, in a future Spider-Man movie, in the MQ, if they have a flashback with Uncle Ben, they should have him played by Jason Alexander, just so that Jason Alexander and Miss Marissa Tomei can have been married. Because of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Remember David and Seinfeld?
Seinfeld is all like a blur to me because nothing ever happened.
All the best stuff happened. Seinfeld was like the best.
I mean, I tried to go back and watch Seinfeld a couple of years ago, and I was like, shit, this does not hold up at all.
Wrong. It all holds up. It all holds up perfectly.
Holds up. The Curb Your Enthusiasm Seinfeld episodes are also amazing, too.
Yeah, I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm is just better Seinfeld, but that doesn't mean that Seinfeld's bad.
No, but what I'm saying
is... The episodes reunion. Of... Yes, exactly. Yeah. That scene with Michael Richards yelling at the guy out in public is still one of the greatest self-send-ups ever. I was like, oh, no, not again! George, he finds out that Marissa Tomei wants to date him, even though he's a dumpy, schlumpy, nobody guy, except he's engaged, so he can't get with Marissa Tomei.
Oh.
So if they had him play Uncle Ben, then it would be funny. It would be a callback.
I just remember that he was going to get married in the show, but none of the staff could tolerate the woman who played his fiance, so they killed her off.
Well, I mean, part of the joke of her character in the show as well was that she was a perfectly nice person with absolutely no negative traits whatsoever, but for some reason everybody disliked her on the show.
Yeah,
and then she died from licking envelopes.
Yep.
Because he chose cheap envelopes and the glue was toxic.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear that over here, Andy.
Yeah,
I know. My headphones are not that great. No, I was going to check the audio on there because I heard like a weird buzz.
Yeah, there was a weird buzz.
Yeah, it was annoying. Yeah. It's not on the podcast, so it must be the connection that's going from the mixer to the streaming computer.
Oh. What?
So I was going to check it.
All right.
Announcements. Everything's canceled. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Know about dying?
Well,
I mean, someday.
Eventually.
Yeah, we're all gonna eventually die. Yeah, but not. Well, maybe to
more people than would like to are going to die this year.
I mean, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the circles we run in. We're setting people up for a lot of disappointment here.
Chat says there's a buzz. Take that, chat. Oh well. I'll have to deal with it. Sounds like a constant vibration. Oh, I'm wearing one of those vibrating butt plugs. That's probably it.
RF interference is a bitch, man.
Well, no, I just meant it was physically shaking me and my arms are on the table.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones where like the strap goes around the whole tackle and then in that way the vibe. Listen.
This live dashboard is a piece of shit that's on the phone. It is not helpful at all because...
Well, I mean, who would try to run a Twitch stream from their phone?
Well, you know, it's a controller. The stream's running from the computer, and then you can use the phone like a controller. It's like the Wii U. Remember the Wii U?
Vaguely.
Nobody had a Wii U. But in theory, the controller had a TV on it, and that was a neat functionality. What a terrible, terrible idea. U was like marketing wise,
and then they just
like, legit didn't know it was a system. Like they thought it was just like a special edition of the Wii or something. Like the Wii was such huge demand, and then the Wii U just diarrheaed out there because nobody understood what the hell was happening.
And then they made then they revised it slightly, came out with the Switch, and ruled the world.
Yeah, although unfortunately, it's more than a slight revise because while the Switch you can play docked and undocked, it was neat that the Wii U was both at the same time. There's some cool the Zombie U game had a neat same room versus mode where one person was playing on the TV and they were fighting against waves of zombies, and then the other person was holding the TV style controller and they were like StarCraft style, like summoning the zombie units to attack the other player, which is kind of neat, like to use that technology and capability that you have.
Yeah. But yeah, nobody bought it, and Nintendo lost a lot of money, and then they made the Switch, and Now they're back to making money hats.
Yeah, but what's his face? He took the bite because he was a good CEO.
Mm-hmm. Who's it, Reggie?
No, he's not a CEO. The president.
Oh yeah, where he basically just chose not to take a raise and give it.
Like,
yeah,
didn't take a salary for this 1 year.
He took a massive salary cut. I don't think he took no salary, but like he cut his salary like in half because he's like, this was my decision that. I can hear myself out of these headphones because it's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Travis showed up in chat to show up for a minute and then leave like he does.
Hi, Travis.
Don't put the headphones back on. Just shut Twitch down on your phone. Now you're going to be 30 seconds behind the conversation. He's going to wait until he hears me in his headphones and he's going to answer to that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be 30 seconds behind the conversation.
You're going to be 10 seconds behind the conversation? Yeah. Oh my God! This can be like in like the harder sci-fi books where they actually have the time delay in transmissions. Like if somebody's on Jupiter and they're having a phone call, and so they say their line and then they go and like sleep for 5 hours and then come back and then the other person responds and Oh well, that's life.
Because I thought you said vagina.
I'm going to unplug your headphones, and then it's just going to be feedback coming out through the microphones on the TV.
I just want to point out, because Travis said sorry for making me do a whole lot of work and then not needing it. I recognize that that Adepticon was canceled, and I haven't actually done it yet. I will get to it soon, but it dropped precipitously down my priority list after Adepticon got
canceled. Also, all the work we were going to make you do is work you should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Adepticon that ATC as a stress test found things that were bad within Conflict Chamber, it's good that you found those things. You would have wanted to fix them anyway, probably.
Yeah.
Although I kind of liked the no battle group army list with like 1,000 Bane Thralls and 2 full units of Soul Hunters.
Yeah. No. Oh no. It's all going to get fixed. Just the prioritization changed radically as soon as Adepticon was canceled.
Yeah. Good times. Good times.
Good.
But yeah, so seriousness aside, Adepticon, if you have not heard by now, has been canceled for safety concerns and also because legally they had to because of safety concerns. ATC, we weighed our options and basically we kind of had 3 options. We could have attempted an emergency last minute revenuing, which I don't think is a word, but it's a word now. We could have revenued to someplace.
And then probably got canceled because of the state law.
Depending, because since we wouldn't have been the full size of Adepticon, we were under their limit.
Okay.
Because ATC by itself, if we have 32 teams times 5, that's only, 150 people, whereas Adepticon as the whole thing was thousands, right? And so we would have been below the cap, but even then people would have had to travel, and which is not good, and even if the legal limit is above what we would have been, morally speaking, if we have that many people in a room together, we are putting them to some level of danger. And so it just wasn't worth doing. And so for the foreseeable future, ATC is postponed. And depending on how things shake out with the pandemic, who knows if we're going to be able to have it later in the summer or fall. Mm-hmm. It's possible that we'll be able to do an event in later in the year. If not, unfortunately, we'll just have to see everybody in 2021. And that's how life shakes down sometimes. I do know because of that, even if we do it later in the year, it'll be too late in the year for this. So the WTC teams won't be chosen by the ATC anymore because obviously they have to pick teams before then.
Yeah.
So they reopened their resume system.
Yeah. I mean, it's well, even if, let's say, we had it later in the summer, it'd be difficult cost-wise for the team that gets chosen for there to get tickets to get over there. Because
well, and even that aside, there's got to be a point where, like, WTC has, like, a list lock similar to us, or a team lock where they need to know who's coming.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be prior to whenever we would have been able to reschedule ourselves. But that's okay. I can still go over there with the GoPro on my head for 24-hour live coverage of my adventures at the WTC.
Are you still going?
Or is it? With that idea, I'm thinking about it. I talked to Raylene. I'm like, we should go to Belgium, and I'll just wear a GoPro 24 hours the whole time we're there. Travis says you broke something. Now it's staticky. The thing you plugged in made terribleness happen.
No, I can still hear a buzz throughout the stream. It's annoying. I plugged in a whole new cord and a new jack in there.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. We can't hear whether they're static or not, so now we're just sitting here silently watching your face.
Yeah. Is there static?
There's static.
Okay.
Well, all right. Well, then the other cord was probably better because they said the buzz had gone away.
No.
Well, they said it. Whether they're telling the truth or not, chat claimed that it got better.
Chat claimed it got better, but it was definitely not better. But now it's definitely worse, so I'm going to mess it up again.
But answer, Travis, sure, why not? You, me, Dave, yeah. Maybe rope Keith and one of your Milwaukee guys into there.
Oh, Travis isn't going to hear part of that.
Okay. Now hopefully they can hear us.
Yeah, well, you can listen to the audio cast.
Jeez Louise. Oh, no, whatever I said's gone forever. Not really, just from Twitch. It's on the audio cast. The point is, sure, we'll get a Milwaukee-Madison team. You, me, Dave, Keith, one of your Milwaukee people.
What? Yep. Why am I not on the team?
You're mascot. You're the alternate.
Yeah, you have a fursuit, don't you?
He is a fursuit.
That sound really bothers me. There is a audible buzz, and it's really annoying.
I'm sorry. If it makes you feel better, I can't hear it because I'm not listening. Also, chat claims it sounds good. So maybe the buzz is in your headphones.
No.
Chat says it sounds good. I trust chat.
Yeah, I'm good with chat.
I hate that. I hate that delay coming out of those headphones sitting on the table. Let's go down there.
So we're going team beer, cheese, and glory?
Yes, whatevs. The point is, talk to Raylene and maybe we'll just take that trip either way. I'm like, we'll go there. I'll wear the GoPro 24 hours a day. That way we can live stream on the Crippled System Twitch the whole time and people can just tune in and see what's Nate up to in Belgium.
Yeah, at the rate I'm going, I actually will have at least one fully painted army.
There you go. Yes, Andy?
Yeah. What? No. I'm bothered by my buzz.
Just forget the buzz. Chat says there's no buzz. Maybe you got the tendonitis.
Tendonitis?
Tin.
I got tennis elbow?
You get Tin and his little dog.
No.
And the captain.
No, it's still there. Somewhere.
Yeah, no GoPro in the shower or while I'm doing frisky things. I would just point the boat GoPro like at the TV in the hotel room.
No, just get some Vaseline. And put it on the camera lens so then it's just all fuzzy.
Yeah.
And you can't tell.
So Travis, what about the GoPro while we're throwing up in a hotel bathroom?
I could do the Vaseline around the edges of the screen like the director inexplicably decided to do in that oh-so-well-known science fiction film Quattro.
Quattro?
No. There's a movie called Quattro that nobody remembers existing.
Why did they make a movie about Audi's four-wheel drive system?
No, it was about a card game.
Okay.
Maybe it was Quinto. Let me check what it's called. I thought it was Quattro. I'm doubting myself. Yeah, because there's like, yeah, whatever. They actually made the spinoff game, and it was terrible and unbalanced. But for some reason, for like the whole film, they put Vaseline on the outer edges of the lenses, and so the edges of the screen are all just blurry and garbage, and it's the most confusing thing, and I don't know why they did it.
Yeah. All right, Travis doesn't respond, so I'm assuming that it's okay to have the GoPro on while you're throwing up in a hotel bathroom.
I mean, why would I be throwing up in a...
To be perfectly honest, that is the footage that we would want, is we would want a Nathan perspective of him throwing up in a toilet.
It was Quintet. I was off by one. Sorry, it's Quintet. But look at that screenshot. Look at the edges of the screen. It's so literally fun. Vaseline on... I'm not even lying. Like, yeah. They just smeared... Robert Altman smeared Vaseline on the lenses of his cameras.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
You can see, like, around the edges where it's all, like, smeary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. But I mean, you could do that for, or put like a piece of fog glass over the lens so you can't tell what's going on, but you got the sound. So it almost be like the scrambled vision that you would have like when you're trying to watch the cable channels back in the 80s and 90s.
Or I could just not shower or have sex.
That's true too, but then, yeah.
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 I mean, you know, although joke aside, God damn it, take showers at conventions. Like, pandemics aside, like, just a 10-minute rinse off. Like, it's not taking a lot of time out of your goddamn day. Just do it.
Yeah.
Every day at the convention, hop in there, wash your undercarriage. You don't have to shampoo every day, but, you know, get in there and get a little bit of the muck off.
Take care of that biome.
God, I don't need to be able to smell you two booths over. Yeah. I will never understand it.
It has always been.
Every hotel room has a shower in it. Use it.
It's always been my wish is to get some type of personal hygiene given away inside the swag bags.
I've seen that. At Adepticon one year, one of the board games in the swag bag was called like hygiene or something. It was literally just a bag with soap in it and the instructions for the game hygiene. And it talked about earning points for showering each day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like at the end of the weekend, the person with the most points wins. It was just somebody paid to be in that goddamn swag bag.
Yeah.
Just so that they could make that statement.
Do we know if there's any word about the swag bags for Adepticon?
I don't know about the swag bags or the money spent. I don't know if they're keeping our money but mailing us swag bags. I don't know if we're getting a refund. I don't know if we're just out. I'm not sure if that's even been decided yet. Yeah. I wasn't going to push it, you know, because things are still fresh and whatnot. But I'm sure that some announcement will go out one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect the Adepticon people are still trying to figure out exactly what the fuck's going on, because just to make this clear, they never had the opportunity to actually make a decision, so we don't know how far along they were in the decision process of figuring this out, because their announcement of the cancellation followed a declaration by the governor of Illinois that it would be illegal to hold Adepticon. So they're like, well, guys, it's over.
Yeah.
So we have no idea how far along they were in the process before this happened. I suspect there was an afternoon off of heavy drinking after that was announced.
And our inside man is part of the events organizing. That's not his shtick, so you know we can't ply Travis for info on that.
Yeah. I'm just kind of curious about that.
Yeah.
But it sucks. I mean, like a concert that you were planning on going to and dragging me along. That got postponed.
Raylene and I were in the car on our way to Madison to see Wicked on Friday, and we are halfway to Madison when Raylene gets they were doing hourly check-ins, and then at 6, because we're on our way to get there by 7, at 6 she gets the email that says, canceled.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at least that one they gave us a refund, and everyone who had a ticket gets priority at first crack at buying tickets when they reschedule.
Yeah.
So that's nice. At least the Devin Townsend concert is a postponed, not a cancel. So although I did not get a refund, my tickets will be good when they reschedule. You know, so assuming Devin doesn't die before then, I'll still get to see him.
Yeah.
And even if he does, I saw him once, although it kind of doesn't count because it was such a weird circumstances, but that's okay. I'll survive.
No.
Or I won't, and then I won't care.
Yeah, yeah. I chose not to go to the Green Jelly concert in Janesville.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's frustrating, and it's inconvenient, and it's sad, you know, but it's for the best. And I know a lot of people, after this is all said and done, hopefully, after this is all said and done, people will say, well, that was a bunch of overreaction. Not that many people got sick. Not that many people died. But the fact that not that many people are getting sick or dying is entirely the point.
Yeah, I mean, this is a frustrating thing from epidemiologists and the people that that do on this. And I know this. I know people that work in the intelligence community that get pissed off. It's like, well, but nothing's happening. It's like there's a fucking reason why nothing's happening.
It's like the episode of Futurama where Bender meets God, and God says, you know, if you do everything right, people won't be certain if you did anything at all.
Yeah.
And that's the case, right? Because you see people directly comparing to H1N1, and they're like, well, H1N1, we had like 1,000 deaths, and people didn't even panic like that. It's like, yes, because we're acting like this now because we don't want 1,000 deaths.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point, you idiots.
Well,
you don't need an entire basement full of fucking toilet paper.
Also,
dickheads.
I mean, H1N1 was killed a lot of people.
My mother. But they're saying like before we did this stuff, before we started behaving like this, there was 1,000. Yeah. And the way they said that, they're like, we're not allowed to do these things until at least 1,000 people died. Yeah. It's like, are you hearing yourself, you morons? Also, brief political tangent. I love all the people taking pictures of empty shelves in the grocery stores saying, is this what you like? This is what socialism would be like. And it's like, it's what capitalism is like. You're taking a picture of capitalism and using it to say that socialism would be bad because it might be like the thing that isn't socialism provably is. It's insane the number of people I've seen doing that.
Yeah. I would say, though, this is the first time that I have experienced this in my lifetime. That I can remember of things, just, you know, people are basically told to stay home. Things are being canceled left and right. I mean, the closest David brought up was kind of like after 9/11, where basically almost everything shut down, as in for travel,
right?
Travel, everything shut down. Not saying that stores and everything were being sold out, right? But This is the first time I remember something like this. I mean, like going on back to maybe the gas crisis in the 70s,
Well, and even that, like, was more of just the commodity being rationed.
Yeah.
Like, there hasn't been, like, a shutdown of our country since, like, the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's been a health-related one. Even, like, none of us were around during the Spanish flu, so I don't know what the reaction was to that. I think it was just mass death. I don't know that there was a concerted effort.
Because it's like Wisconsin had lower than half the national average death rate because they shut the fucking state down.
Oh, yeah, because I remember
Minnesota was even lower.
In the old Milwaukee exhibit at the Milwaukee Museum, they have like, you know, the streets of old Milwaukee, and one of them is an example of a quarantine thing because they have like their ice order in the mirror or in the window. Another announcement is that Kickstarter, Warcaster, 5 days left. It's ending this coming Friday, the 20th. So get on that pony if you want to get on that pony. We need like 130 or so more backers to unlock the final backer quantity stretch goal, and then obviously there's a couple more financial stretch goals to go. They've changed the rewards up again to make them more generous. The rewards keep getting better. All of the wild card solos are included in the all-in pledge. The other pledges now have some additional stuff. It's all wonderful.
Yep.
Kickstarter looks like a fun game. I watched a demo game. It looked fun. Some people think that units die too easily, but that's what units are for. It's kind of like Monpok.
That's why you have recursion.
That's why you have recursion.
Yeah.
And I posted something on the Warcaster Facebook about this. You can tell people who are coming straight from War Machine and people who have taken the detour into Monpokville, or possibly other similar games, even if they haven't directly played Monpok. But in War Machine, apart from having things like Alexia or something like that, but in general, stuff dies, it's dead. So you need to use it and peace trade. If something dies without killing something, or if something that killed them doesn't die in return, you wasted that thing and it didn't earn its points because it didn't peace trade or trigger a peace trade. Whereas in Monpok and in Warcaster, you can throw something out there and it can immediately die, but that's okay because whatever resources were spent killing it was an achievement by that unit. In Warcaster, if I summon a unit and you kill it, but you had to use a card and then you activated a model and you put some arc on that model, those are resources you're spending to kill that model or unit or squad. And that's great. That's a use of that squad. I caused you to waste a card, an activation, and an arc to kill that squad. Even if they never got to move, they did that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with Monpok, is you can summon up a bunch of things and then your monster will run around killing off those unit members. That's not damage that's going to my monster. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's you just maybe powering up a little bit for next turn, but that's not damage to my monster.
Yep, exactly.
And then I get to spend those resources to get more power to my monster the next turn because I'm summoning and moving them. Yeah, it's
now there is a balance to that because there has to be a resource cost to the killing, which in Warcaster, the activation token is a big part of it. Like no matter how easily thing A kills thing B, thing A is now locked down and that's an expense, right? But you know, it's not to nullify. Like, if stuff appears and just dies and it took zero effort from your opponent, sure, then you'd have an issue. But I do not feel that that's how it is in Warcaster. I feel like there is a fair cost to those actions.
Yep.
The buzzing still annoys me.
Yeah, I know the buzzing annoys you, but that's okay.
But I mean, it's going all clean to the actual recording, the audio version of the podcast.
I don't know. I'm sorry. But yeah, and so again, that's as a core game mechanic, that is perfectly fine. And as Travis mentions in chat, there's always the balance that they can do to make sure that it is the right level where the resources spent are punishing to the people spending the resources so that it isn't punishing to the people on the receiving end of those resources being spent. Yeah. Everything has a fair cost.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is some of the people that have talked about this already are very focused on the efficiency per model and or even per arc. When I think it's you should be focused almost entirely on what you can do per turn, because ultimately that is the most limited thing in the game is what you can do every turn.
Correct.
And having a unit killed often doesn't affect what you can do per turn that much.
Sure. Yeah. And you have to make it, like, as you summon that unit, where did you put it?
Yeah.
Where did you make it so that to kill it, quote-unquote, trivially, your opponent still used that turn doing that? And what weren't they doing because of that? If you put your unit where they can move a unit, let's go with squads, because squads most often are the things in interacting with the scenarios. If you put a squad, move a squad to where it is controlling a scenario point and wipe out that squad before it gets to activate, yeah. That was a super good turn for them.
Yep.
Maybe you shouldn't have done that. Maybe you should have summoned that squad somewhere where in order to trivially kill it before it could activate, they had to not contest the zone.
Yep.
Or they had to not kill something of yours that was controlling a zone so that they have that choice they have to make. That's what it's all about. Shit can die all day long as you are tactically choosing where and how it dies to control your opponent on the scenario game. And that's the core gamesmanship of Warcaster in my eyes.
Yep.
It's not about kill their stuff because their stuff will just come back. It's not about keeping your stuff alive because your stuff will just come back.
Yep.
It's about choosing where and when stuff dies and to what. Yeah, Andy. Shaking my fist at you.
It'll be all fine in the audio version.
So we encourage our people to watch us live so that they get a worse experience.
Yeah.
There's definitely more people that download our audio than watch us live.
But the special treat for those who watch us live.
And they will all be utterly confused because they'll have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, there'll be no buzzing.
Yeah. I mean, of course, whoever downloads this is utterly confused anyway.
Yeah. But it'll be like they're having a conversation with somebody with the DTs.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that buzzing! I can't stop hearing the buzzing! You hear the buzzing, boss? There's no buzzing.
It's slowly developing into the banana phone song. For me, it's just eventually.
I agree with Travis in chat. One of the good rules in Warcaster is that you cannot summon a model so that it is controlling a scenario. So anything in order to control a scenario must activate.
Ring, 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 ring.
I had Disco Duck stuck in my head this morning. And Disco Duck is a terrible song to have stuck in your head.
It is
a terrible song. Somebody in the 70s was like, hey, Donald Duck might be a registered trademark, but talking like that isn't, and the concept of ducks isn't. So I'll make a novelty song about a duck that disco dances. And he sang the song in the Disco Duck voice, and it's real bad.
I have not heard it, thank God. But I have banana phones stuck in my head, though.
Oh, we're going to play Disco Duck for you after we're done podcasting.
No, you
have played 1,000 things for us after podcasting.
No,
we owe
there's
you
no,
one.
There's no proof. there's absolutely no proof. Zappity.
All right.
Further announcements. I got my replacement parts from Privateer Press so fast, less than a week. I don't know what people who say that they have issues with this.
That's because out of probably the 100 things that they do a month for sending out replacement parts, there's probably, you know, two or three that get messed up or don't go out or get, you know, changed around. And those people decide to go and post. And the 97 other people that get their shit on time and that, they don't post.
I do
maybe like two or three of those, But
I do feel bad that so my Nemo came without the flight stand, as everybody's from the first wave came without a flight stand. So I ordered the flight stand, and then they sent me the flight stand, and now my Nemo's glued onto its flight stand. But before I glued it, I almost did instead. So I bought for Raylene for Christmas a model kit of Christine, the car with the murderins. And I bought it for her mostly because it was buy one, get one free, and that way I could get myself the USS Enterprise and Botany Bay little thing. And so it was the USS Enterprise, but this was a special edition that had an extra stand that the Botany Bay like stuck out on the side. So I got a little two-pack. But it still, for some reason, came with a stand that would have been for the Enterprise if it weren't for the Botany Bay special edition, where it was a little plastic stand, and it had the Starfleet insignia as the base, so that, you know, whatever. And right before I went to glue Nemo, I was like, man, I should put him on that motherfucker. I should have Nemo on the Starfleet insignia. That would be great. And then I just glued him onto the because I would have had to drill holes for the because it wasn't all right.
You're missing the whole thing. It's about Nemo 4 is about he's inside the ball, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you should have taken parts off of Nemo 4, attached him onto the Christine model, and attached that onto the Star Trek flight stand. And then you would have just had, you know, a nice...
just have Nemo as the carburetor.
Yeah, just like a couple of the the fins and that. You could have had Nemo 4 as Christine on a Star Trek flight base.
So just give Nemo the fins?
Yeah.
Is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Even the clamps. I mean, I still can. The Christine model has not been assembled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be an amazing Nemo 4 model.
All right, I'll look into it.
Or you can go into Maximum Overdrive and just get yourself a black semi with a Joker head.
That movie is really bad.
I mean, it's not one of the worst Stephen King films, though, but... Langoliers.
Oh, that's a miniseries, not a movie.
Well, yeah.
Also, apart from the bad special effects of the Langoliers themselves, it's all right. Bronson Pinchot running around being all crazy, he's great in that.
Yeah.
And Lawnmower Man doesn't count because he sued that one because it was not like...
Man.
They took a fully existing film called Cyber God and just changed the title to Lawnmower Man just for the marketing tie-in.
There's parts of Lawnmower Man I think were cut out of either the theatrical release or video release after that. I swear I remember. It's kind of like the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
You think it was in that film.
Have you seen Lawnmower Man 2?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a shame.
That is literally the worst movie I have ever seen in the theater. It is much worse than Cats.
I watched on AMC this weekend. They've been showing all three Matrix films because there was three. There was actually three movies.
Are you sure?
Yep. And unfortunately,
there were four.
Oh, there was the Matrix, the animated thingy.
Animatrix.
Yeah.
Which is the second best Matrix film.
After the first one, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second's got some really good points in it. They're really good. But unfortunately, the only two that I saw was like the very beginning of the Matrix, which is a good film. And then the last half of Matrix 3. I really like the visuals in the Matrix 3 of the fight for Zion, is it? Is it Zion though?
Sure. Yeah.
I love the visuals for it.
It's okay.
The walker suits, they do have the same problem as the loader suits in Alien has.
Or the suits in the end of fucking Pocahontas in space.
Starship Troopers?
Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Avatar. Yeah. Where like, here's a big, just naked human in the middle of this armor suit. It's like, I'm going to aim for that.
But
also, congrats, Deadlocked in chat. He knocked over a paint pot and caught it before it spilled.
Nice.
Very impressive.
I knocked over one last night and did not catch it before it spilled, so I'm envious.
But the shots of them all the squiddies just piling all the wall, and then kind of there's an excellent sequence before the main captain dies, whoever he is, you know, because he's valiantly defending the area there. But it, just seeing all of them move and it like moving like a squid, like a school of fish, basically all in the air. It was just visually that. part of the film was I mean, you just have to
block out of your mind that the mechs they're using have the stupidest design imaginable. Because it's not only the thing that it's basically you've got a baby carrier. The mech is a baby carrier. Mm-hmm. There's no armor on the pilot, but just the fact that the kinematics of how the human pilot has to hold his arms up in the air to operate everything. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't do that for very long before you're like, shit, my muscles aren't working
also,
anymore.
Also, they're shooting directly up, so all their shell casing are raining down on each other.
Yeah.
Any bullets that miss are falling back on them. Any bullets that hit are bringing a squid down on top of them. It's terrible...
It wasn't right above. Sure. It was more of kind of like me towards that light.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. But no, I understand. But it still looked fucking awesome.
Also...
The ending though was the worst though. I didn't.
Yeah.
Also, the actor who played Tank went to the same school of business as 1 × 1 = 2 guy, Terrence Howard, because he's like, hey, 4 main characters survived Matrix 1. The main character, his love interest, and his mentor, and then random dude me. Surely that means I can ask for exactly the same amount of money as these other three. Oh, wait, I'm not in the movies anymore. Oops.
Oh, yeah, because was it his brother Dozer or something like that? One of them died. Yeah.
And the other one survived and asked for as much, if not more, money than Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss and Lawrence Fishburne. It's like, dude, be happy that you're in the Matrix movies. You know, be happy that you're getting paid to be in the Matrix movies. Just keep your head down. Pull the check off. Like, just don't speak up. Let the brainworm go in your ear. They'll find out that Sulu should have your role if you speak too loud.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Nope.
Yeah, he did not support
the just
Walter
wrote
Kenning,
him right out of there.
The Walter Koenig movie. Yes, yeah. I'd love to be in Star Trek 2.
Yeah. Dude, you should have been willing to do the second movie for free. Like any money they give you is bonus because you... Oh, man.
I mean, looking back on it now, I mean, looking back is always... I mean, it's always rosier as you're watching it. It's like as we sat through The Phantom Menace the first time, it was... I mean, I don't think there was a lot of people that were absolutely... But most people, I think, were like, this is okay. This is okay. And then as
future
viewings upon it, I'm like, no, wait a second.
Well, I will not split that hair, and I will say that I hate it now far more than I did when I saw it. Yeah. So you are to some extent correct.
Well, that only applies to Phantom Menace because Attack of the Clones, I hated it. I hated it. It's like from the second it was on the screen.
Mm, yeah.
I think I was just mainly going through the motions at the time, God. So I didn't hate it as much as afterwards.
And people who rank episode 3 as being up with like the best of the fuck you.
No.
You are so
No,
people,
it was the best of the prequels and that's
It's the best of the prequels that makes it the third worst Star Trek
exactly.
Star Wars movie. Like people are putting like above Jedi and whatnot. It's
Wait,
like fuck right
you're
off.
Saying Revenge of the Sith is the best of the prequels?
Yeah.
That is That is, I won't fight that stance,
yeah.
even though I think it's wrong.
Yeah,
I think Phantom Menace is the least bad of the original trilogy, of the prequel trilogy, not original.
It has the most egregious moment, but it's...
Phantom Menace is the least bad of the prequel trilogy, and Attack of the Clowns is the single worst film ever made dollar for dollar. But man, alive, fucking A, like... I am bored of your space wizard's laser sword fighting on a lava planet. Something's wrong with your movie. How did you manage to make me bored of space wizard's laser sword fighting on a lava planet?
Basically. I mean, my primary comment from when I had originally watched Revenge of the Sith was it's not bad because Lucas had himself painted in a corner because of stuff that had to happen before episode 4, so it wasn't nearly as bad as 2. I still think I like it over one.
There, he's the one who did that painting.
I know.
None of it had to go like that.
I know. I'm not. This is not. This is not a defense of George Lucas. This is me saying that it's like, so episode four was good, and the shit that had to happen to lead into episode four had got himself back into a corner that he couldn't fuck it up as badly as he did episode two.
I guess so, because by that point he had to course correct back.
Yeah,
like he's lost in the weeds, and you're like, no, come on, here, boy, yeah, come over here. And so even if he stops to sniff some shit on the way back, at least he's coming back to where you're calling him.
Yeah, because if he wasn't already railroaded into the stuff that had to happen to set up episode four, he would have fucked it up much, much, much worse.
Sure.
That is the only saving grace of three, was that there was a finite amount of fuck ups that could happen because of what had to happen before the next episode.
But so many fuck ups come to a head in episode three.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. Like all of it. Mm-hmm. Everything. Fucking.
I like
the concept of younglings. First of all, that's the dumbest goddamn word in the history of anything. Younglings, eat shit, Lucas. Second of all, there's only one time in the original trilogy where somebody talks about training needing to start young, and that's Yoda being a sniveling asshole trying to find an excuse to not train Luke and saying that this guy in his 20s is too old. And it's A, he's in his 20s, he's not 7, so you don't have to go all the way to saying they have to be kindergartners. And 2, he's lying out of his ass, he's not too fucking old. And so yet you make younglings a thing because you're an incompetent moron and you got divorced so your wife couldn't rein you in anymore.
I like how we were talking about Matrix 2 and 3 and devolved into
well, because there's just shit sequels that need fucking Matrix 2. God damn it. When you fucked up your in half a movie, like, the Matrix was tight. The Matrix had all the lore right there. The battery thing doesn't make sense, but whatever. It's your excuse. We'll stick with it. All right?
It makes sense.
Science doesn't work. A human body would take more to feed than it would produce. It would be a net loss. It would be like raising tigers for their meat. All the meat you're feeding them, you could have just eaten. And that's the same thing with humans as a battery. We do not put out as much energy as it would take to keep. But whatever, fuck it.
But this is future technology.
Yeah, exactly. I'll bypass that and say that the bots got a way to make it work.
Yeah.
Sure. Although then, why don't they have just like cows and squirrels and stuff
in
the
panels.
Pods? Like they we blacked out the sky. So they couldn't do solar panels because we blacked out the sky.
I forgot that.
No, I mean.
So again, that's fine. And I will fit with that. And I will ignore the science of that because you've said that's the rules of the universe. Okay, I'll shut up. I'll accept those as the rules of the universe because hand wave. But then in half a film, you fuck up the rules of the universe so much that you need a 20-minute scene of somebody literally sitting in a chair and talking directly to the main character, explaining all the changes to your mythos. That's fucking terrible. Show, don't tell. Especially don't tell for 20 minutes in a blank room.
Well, I haven't seen the second one in like 20 years. So
they literally have Nemo. Yeah, Neo come into a room and there's a guy that's like, oh, hi.
Oh, is that that's the architect.
The architect. The fucking architect scene. They have a guy for like 20 goddamn minutes just explain exposition, just puking it out of every hole in his face. Here's just a stream of exposition. How the fuck do you get to that point in your movie? Just don't. When you get there, when you're on page 17 of the architect scene, burn the entire fucking script and start over.
So I did this is so I've seen the last part twice now recently, and I still don't know exactly what happened to Nemo.
Or Nemo. Little Nemo in Dreamland.
Just Neo with his little small flipper. But I don't know what happened to him specifically. I just see the robots just kind of take him away, and then really, really, really bad sequences down in Zion. It was like the ending of The Christmas Carol, where the kids is running around the streets going, ah, everyone's happy. And he's like, child, tell me what happened. It's like, he did it. He saved us, Zion. And then you don't actually see what happens to Neo at the end of that. You just see him being carried off by the robots. Did he die?
He dies. I believe that the God, it's been fucking forever, and I blocked it from my memory, but like, he kills himself so that the robots can also kill Smith, because at that point Smith's corrupted them. And so he sacrifices himself to get rid of Smith, which then basically makes a peace treaty happen between the humans and the robots. Because reasons.
No.
Because reasons.
But we're batteries to them. How are they going to survive without us?
Raisins.
Raisins, okay.
Because raisins.
I suppose it will be told to us and for, and I don't know how Carrie Ann Moss is going to be. I think she's in next one.
There is only one. God damn it. Now I just want to call him Nemo. There's just one Keanu Reeves movie coming out next year that I give a shit about. Or this, you know, within next year.
There's two.
There's only one I give
Matrix
a shit about.
There's Matrix 4 and
that's not the one I give a shit
John
about.
John Wick film.
There's not another John Wick this year, is there?
No. Actually, no.
I think that's next year.
Yeah. It's in fact, I think they're both on the same fucking weekend.
Correct.
Is the Bill and Ted?
Bill and Ted and Matrix. Bill and Ted 3 and Matrix 4 come out on the same day.
Yeah.
On the same day. You know that's a double feature people are going to be doing.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
And I do not fucking care about Matrix 4, but I am dying for Bill and Ted 3.
Sign me up.
100% of Bill and Ted things have been masterpieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both films and the animated series. Fuck it. The Nintendo Entertainment System video game, all of them are great.
No. Not the video game.
Fuck you. It's better than the Back to the Future video game. As far as time travel.
That one didn't exist. It existed, but it was not. That was not good.
Well, that's my point. It was not good.
It's like the Simpsons Nintendo game.
The Simpsons arcade game was okay.
Yeah, but it was not the NES version of the Simpsons game. The NES versions of a lot of movies were really bad, such as like RoboCop. RoboCop actually was really bad.
RoboCop for the NES is all right.
Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't terrible.
RoboCop is one of
Total
the
Recall.
Top selling. Total Recall, yeah.
Total
RoboCop
Recall.
Is one of the top selling games in England, actually. Like that specific game, because it was on like five different systems, and for some reason like it kept getting re-released over and over and over again. Like that original RoboCop game is like the number one selling video game of all time in England, unless something recently passed it by. Bill and Ted 3. Yeah. It's gonna be good. Bill and Ted's never steered me wrong.
All they really need to do is have the poster for Matrix 4 should really be like a zip drive disc that just says Smith on it. Just like a backup copy.
Sure.
That's all it is.
Well, and then, surprise twist. Also, side note, fuck anyone who hates Bogus Journey. Bogus Journey is just as good as the original.
They're both fucking amazing. One's got Station.
Yeah, Station. Excellent, but Evil Robot Billy, Evil Robot Ted, come on. And the good robots, everything.
Good robot Death, us's?
The, yep. Death's coming back for this one. That actor's already signed on for three. He's in it.
Is it Matt Frewer?
I don't know. But anyway, maybe Matrix 4, speaking of a little zip drive and a backup copy, you know what could happen is Smith comes back, but Neo's like, ah-ha-ha, I have a USB drive of my own. I know who can help us. Bam, Lucy crossover. Lucy crossover, Andy.
Oh, no. No, we already...
And Neo's
already...
like, that's using 100% of your brain, and he gives a thumbs up to the camera, and then a wink, and then it fades to black.
We already know how the Lucy truly ended is with Morgan Freeman folding up some laundry and then realizing that the USB drive of everything, all the knowledge of the world, has went through the wash.
Yeah. Or smash cut to her foaming at the mouth and dying in a prison cell.
Yes. Oh my God. That movie would be legend. We wouldn't be vaguely remembering it now. We would be talking about it in just as how
if that was
amazing.
The ending. If it had just smash cut to her foaming at the mouth, God, it would have been the most brilliant, brilliant thing ever. Also, Wild Stallion story. I will tell a gym story. Andy tells a lot of gym stories. I'm telling a gym story right now.
Okay.
Which is when Jim played Blood Bowl with actual physical models, he was playing Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaos, their main infantry, like linesmen, are beastmen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a bunch of beastmen, and they're like holding axes, right? And so, because he didn't buy like a Blood Bowl team, he bought just beastmen models, because that's the way to do it, right? So he cut the axes out, and now all of his beastmen are standing like this. All of his beastmen were doing air guitar. So he decided that his army would be Wild Stallions. And so the Chaos Warriors were Robot Bill, Robot Ted, Evil Robot Bill, Evil Robot Ted. The Minotaur, I believe, was Station, and then all of the Beastmen were Socrates, Napoleon, Bob Genghis Khan, all of that, which is just amazing. That's just the best Blood Bowl team you can possibly do. And for the best reason. Like, just going, hey, my Beastmen look like they're doing an air guitar. Fuck it, Bill and Ted Army. Fucking fan theory that Smith was the one. Stupid. Fucking Burly Brawl. I think I've said this before. I'm going to say it again, and I don't care. The goddamn Burly Brawl scene in Matrix 2.
At the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that movie opened with like the most boring and the most pointless CGI fight scene created by humans to that point.
Remember when he throws a Smith into a bunch of other Smiths, and it makes like a bowling ball hitting the pins noise? Waka waka. It's like the slide whistle and the fucking car flip
but this
in the
is
one James
in the
Bond
Matrix,
movie.
Though. He could have programmed that.
Anyway.
But no, I mean, I got to rant about that fight because...
Okay, and then I'll rant about it too.
In addition to it just being a boring fight scene, mm-hmm. it had zero impact on the plot. It was completely meaningless.
Correct. So here's your fix. Here's another Nathan special. You goddamn wrote your movie. You should have thought of this moment. Just you fucktards, because it's your rules. So you have in the movie as it is now, Neo's fighting Smith. They fight for a while. The filmmakers decide it's filled enough time and used enough budget, so the scene just ends, and they just wander off for no reason, and it was just a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah.
What you do instead is you look at the rules of the Matrix as you put it forth. The agents do not exist. They aren't a thing in there. Every time an agent exists in the Matrix, it's because they have taken over a host body and converted that host body into being an agent, which means every goddamn one of those Smiths was a human being. So you have this Burly Brawl fight scene. You have Neo beating him, killing one after another after another after another, and then he looks over and he sees that every one of those Smiths he's killed has reverted back into a dead old lady, a dead little boy, a dead random person. Like, he's killing human beings, and the longer he fights, the more people he kills, and he realizes that he can't do this any longer, and then he retreats. And now you've added pathos, you've added drama, you've added a weight to this instead of just having a boring, pointless fucking fight scene.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Like, no. How do they not... How do you write this and not do these things?
What you got to do then is you got to have your hero fight the villain, destroying, leveling, like, basically pretty much New York City, just leveling there. And the only time that the hero decides that he is going to fight and actually do something about it is when he's got him in a headlock and he's looking over at some kids, and then he's going to break his neck at that point because he might eye laser a couple kids and a mom instead of the thousands upon thousands of people that died in the buildings that you were fighting in.
But was the mom named Martha?
That was Man of Steel.
But
that
other lady
that
might have been named Martha, too.
Oh, that might have been Martha. Yeah.
But at least Martha. That they kind of tried, right?
Kind of.
They're like, Superman is going to make the... Like, they made that a moment. It was clumsy and awkward, and a family of four being what tilts him over when he just wrecked all of downtown. I get you. It does not work. Unless then you have to lean into it. You have to have him look over at all the wreckage, see people under the rubble, see the first responders, and think to himself, this is out of control.
Can you imagine?
And then
can you imagine
this is the straw, right?
What was going through his head throughout his fight? Because he's fighting somebody, and then because he's got super hearing, he can hear everything.
Yeah.
He could just hear just people just screaming. It must have been gruesome for
him.
Yeah. Which... Maybe he's just too bloodthirsty.
Yeah, but I mean, that would have been that little tweak, you know, like they could have had just a second or two of him before the whole neck snacky moment, before that is like, you know, have him look back at what's happened, look at the rubble, look at the people, you know. Yeah, I mean, crowds are dumb. Maybe you have to make it a little overly obvious and like zoom in on his ear, and then he can hear the people screaming or whatever. But make it clear that Superman isn't just... He was fine with that carnage, but he's not okay with this. Make it all the same carnage that ties together, and this is the final straw.
Can you imagine? This would be kind of cool if this would have paid out that way. Like, as Superman is fighting Zod,
yeah.
As he's fighting through there, there's obviously a lot of explosions, and you have kind of like the noise that you always have, you know, the tinnitus, where you just suddenly hear just like a high pitch.
The tinnitus.
Yeah, you just hear a high pitch there. Can you imagine how cool that would have been if you would have had him like this, and he can't really hear anything because everything's so loud, and then you realize the reason why he can't hear anything is because it is all the screams, and you just hear tinnitus fade away into... like individual screams as like his hearing comes back, and sure. that's the reason sure. why he's like, I can't let this go any further, and then he snaps his neck.
Right. It's similar, like, oh, as terrible cool. as it is, the Martha moment is supposed to not just be like, oh, your mom made Martha, so is mine. We're best friends now from yeah. Step Brothers. It's supposed to be, according to Snyder after the fact, that, like, that made Batman think about the fact that, you know, this has gone too far and Superman's a human like he is and he has loved ones and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, sure, I get that, but you need to make that – that needs to be what it is, not what you wanted it to be.
Yeah, when you cut the – you were the one that filmed that sequence and you could have easily said, like – no, that came off like Step Brothers. So we should probably redo that.
I still wish that what's her face have been named Aqua Martha in
I haven't seen Aquaman.
Who is the
yet.
Actress? You haven't seen Aquaman?
No.
It's perfectly mediocre.
I hear it's good.
It's fine. Justice if nothing League else, not I just bad. Love that that you get fucking Black Mary Santa, no, or... you get Mary Poppins as a kaiju.
Wait, what?
There is a kaiju in that movie. Voiced by, what's her face? Fucking...
Oh, Michael Rooker?
No, literally Mary Poppins, the actress from the original film. Sure, sure. What is her name? Why am I blanking on her name?
I don't know.
How can you not know who plays Mary Poppins? Only one of us at this cable camp
I already named who plays Mary Poppins.
No, you didn't.
It is Michael Rooker.
It is not.
Look it up.
You know, in the Japanese version, he says, I'm Totoro. Because of the umbrella.
Because of the umbrella.
Because they wouldn't know they Mary Poppins no nearly as much as Totoro.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is amazing. Oh, Julie Andrews. Yeah. Julie Andrews voices a kaiju in The Adventures of Aquamartha's Son.
I want to get a copy of that movie.
Well, I'm sure the Japanese language track is on.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear it.
Okay, what do you want?
I just
want
to hear Michael Rooker saying, I'm Totoro, y'all.
Well, you won't. You'll hear a Japanese voiceover actor saying, I'm Totoro.
I thought he actually did the...
No, Michael Rooker doesn't speak Japanese. There's only one person who plays himself in all of the language tracks of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Vin Diesel. It's a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
Well, he also broke recent interviews with him about... On his Bloodshot tour, he gave away some things for the next Guardians movie.
Also, side note, does anyone give two shits about Bloodshot? Like, I didn't even see commercials until, like, last week.
What and is then Bloodshot? Just,
exactly.
I mean, I literally...
Bloodshot is basically...
It is a comic book movie that came out on Friday. It's got Vin Diesel as someone that it looks like you can shoot him, but he doesn't die. The end.
He's basically got nanites in them that reconstruct his body. So
okay, this is literally the first I've heard of it.
Bloodshot is a comic in the 90s. It was from Valiant Comics.
It sounds like it.
It definitely sounds like a Valiant Comics thing.
It's,
let me guess, you never see his feet on the covers to the
No, this was not handled by Rob Liefeld.
This sounds like it was a label that couldn't afford Liefeld.
It's from Valiant Comics, which I think was Jim Shooter's, one of the former editor-in-chiefs at Marvel.
Looking at the trailer of it, it reminded me of something I heard somebody say about Vin Diesel, and they said that he is the new version of Steven Seagal in the fact that within his movies, he's never allowed to ever be losing. Like, even how, like, most heroes will have, like, the times when they have to fight back from being the underdog. Sure. In a Steven Seagal movie, he's always winning every fight because he just will not allow himself for even a second to be on the losing side of stuff. And I'm starting to feel that same way about Vin Diesel in his movies. Like,
it's Chuck Norris has got that in his thing where he can't be losing in it.
Where's the drama then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, if you look at the Seagal movies nowadays, like, ever since people stopped giving a shit about him, he's just always got the upper hand on everyone ever. He never... gets a scratch or a bruise on him. It's like the opposite of Die Hard.
Fair. Oh, or is it Bruce? I don't know. I remember hearing something like that recently.
Someone whose ego is larger than their understanding of dramatic tension has in their contract to never be on the losing side of a fight. Okay. You were technically correct about Mary Poppins, I think, is what he was pointing out.
Yeah. Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker is great in Slither.
He's great in a lot of movies.
That is true.
Slither is amazing. It is a very, very... Is that's a gun film, isn't it?
That is a gun film. and it's early in his career, it really feels, you can feel the trauma in it. Like, especially the scene with, like, the mother of all the worms. Like, that's some trauma film stuff right there.
It's also well done. I mean, all the special effects in that film are really well done.
Oh, the mayor flipping out about his Mr. Pibb. Just great stuff.
I like that film a lot.
Yeah.
True story. Matt's announcements.
Oh, yeah, I know. So, yeah, Vin Diesel gave away about Thor that's going to be in Guardians.
Well, it's the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
It was pretty much already set up like that, too.
Yeah, in Endgame, Thor left with the Guardians. Yeah. This is no, but it's surprising.
I thought that it was just a fun thing people had come up with. I didn't realize until my second watching of Endgame that in Endgame, somebody refers to them as the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Which I was like, all right, cool.
Did you? So I watched another podcast, and I don't know if you heard it, but have you seen any of the new shots of the new Batman film?
A couple of random shots. I know people don't like things because people hate everything.
Well, I mean, some people hate the costume already because
people are like, there's no cape. They're gonna CGI the cape in you
or put in a cape. It's made so it's not like. I really do like the Tim Burton Batman. I enjoy the Michael Keaton Batman, but that Batman had a problem, and that problem was he couldn't move his neck.
Yeah.
That was
the cape specifically, because the screenshots and everything that people have are specifically from a scene with a motorcycle, and it's like people will die if they try to be on a motorcycle with a cape. Like, you think there's an actual cape in the scene with Batman on the Batcycle in Dark Knight? Spoiler, no, there fucking isn't.
I did Superman myself to death that way. Because I, as a kindergartner, my mom made me a Superman outfit. And I had boots that went over my cowboy boots then. Because, you know, hey, I'm a kindergartner. I have cowboy boots. And then she gave me a cape. And I wore that cape everywhere until it got caught in my bike chain.
I was going to say, what was the name of that ballet dancer? But I decided that neither of you would remember, so I decided to Google it.
The actress that died in the car?
Yeah. Isadora Duncan. She had a long scarf, and she was in a convertible. And the rear wheel of that convertible said, "Hello, scarf!" And that was not good for her neck. Yeah.
But, I mean, so, like, the Batmobile, it looks fine. It's if they're going for, like, which it sounds like they're going for, if they're going for like a year one type Batman, I mean, you're not going to have a guy go out and create the 86 Batmobile. They're not going to, or 89 Batmobile. They're not going to create that Batmobile. They're going to be modifying some kind of car that they have on. And I'm not offended by it. It looks fine. Did you also see the video of Batman on his new motorcycle and then immediately wiping it?
I did not. I saw like almost nothing. I saw like the only pictures I've seen is the pictures that they have as a thumbnail for clickbait articles. And I'm like, people hate this about the new Batman. And I'm like, I don't care what people hate. I will see it and I will tell you what I hate about it.
Yeah. There's rumors though, and I don't know if they really need it because I mean, They've done him that well. There's rumors that they might have cast somebody for the Joker, and that person being Johnny Depp potentially for that film.
Yeah, we will see.
Which might be good.
I am certain that I will see this, and so I just don't like any news. I'm not going to let it affect my expectations for it. Although it'd be nice to just stop going to the Joker well so often.
Yeah.
It was nice that Batman Begins went to Ra's al Ghul and Scarecrow, who were both under-leveraged in general in Batman films. We'll see. There hasn't really been... I've been overall satisfied with pretty much all the Batmans.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, even to be honest with you, the campy Schumacher ones... exist in their own world are fine.
Well, I wasn't referring to films. I was speaking to specifically to the character itself, all the takes.
Oh, sure.
So any issues I have with the Schumacher ones aren't necessarily the fault of Val Kilmer or George Clooney. Although George Clooney, I think, is my least favorite Batman.
He was in Batman and Robin. That is significantly the worst of the original four.
Yeah, and even ignoring that, I just think that he... wasn't
He was an okay Bruce, I would say, but Batman, he was too. I know he kind of wanted to try to seem like he wanted to channel some Adam West in there, but it didn't work well for me.
Yeah,
I don't like bat card credit cards. I don't
but bat credit cards would have definitely been a thing that Adam West's Batman had.
Yeah,
there's no way Adam West Batman did not have a bat credit card.
I think if you look at Batman and Robin as a like a continuation of 60s style Batman, I don't think it's as bad as you think it is, because it. I mean, the bad quotes, the bad. I mean, Arnold hams that fucking thing up to 11.
The best thing to come out of the Joel Schumacher Batmans is the Batman the Animated Series episode where there are like three kids all recanting. It's like Rashomon, where they got these three kids all recanting this time that they saw Batman. And each of them tells a very different version of Batman, and they're all very much like the different one. Like one of them, his story is straight up like Dark Knight Returns, where Batman has a tank and he's just like ripping people in half and everything. And another one, it's straight up Adam West style, and it's got like the giant penny in the Batcave and everything. And then like in between two of their vignettes, as they're talking the story, they're like some kid in the background's like, "I heard that he's got a neon Batmobile and that blah blah blah." And they go, "Shut up, Joel!" And then they just walk away. And it was the greatest nod to the fact that those movies existed.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I could see him being the Joker
fine.
Potentially.
There's only been two bad Jokers. Joker had a good run until the last 5 years or so.
Two bad Jokers? So I mean, we know which one. The one from Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad and the one from Gotham.
Oh, was he even the Joker, though, technically?
So the guy wasn't the Joker was killed off. Then, like, he came back, but it turned out it was, like, his twin brother that came back or whatever. And then that thing actually is the Joker and is terrible.
Oh, okay. I remember you talking
about
it.
But Gotham's terrible in general.
Like, that's ended, too, isn't it?
Good.
Yeah,
like, that show was really, really bad. And it almost started being good when not Joker was on there. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this guy's actually... Oh, they killed him after two episodes. I guess we're done with being a good show. So bad. Yeah, David Tennant would be fine as the Riddler. Mostly because David Tennant is amazing in everything he ever does.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many cool villains that, I mean, out of the Batman ones, I'm very surprised we haven't seen like a Killer Croc or Clayface to be used. I mean, they do keep on touch upon the same ones with Two-Face, Joker, Riddler hasn't made other than the Jim Carrey one,
which was okay. I mean, it was
Carrey was a perfect casting for the Riddler.
Yeah, I mean,
even if the movie wasn't great,
he was. A little too much like the Joker for me, but he was okay.
The movie, like, oh man, that's one of those movies that suffers from the cut scenes. There's a great scene with Val Kilmer, like, having a nightmare about, like, the dark side of his personality as personified as the Bat and everything. Mm-hmm. That's really good that I wish was in the film, but it didn't fit the campier tone that Joel Schumacher was starting to steer towards. Clayface could be good. Clayface is handled incredibly well in the animated series, of course. He could be now with the CGI and everything. They could do a decent Clayface.
Yeah.
But stuff like there's a lot of untapped Batman stuff to keep going back to the Joker well over and over again. Like you said, whether it be Killer Croc or Clayface, Hardak was really interesting. I liked Hardak and the stuff like that.
I haven't read it, but I've heard that the Hush series is
Hush is an amazing character. They could definitely do a great film adaptation of Hush. Yeah, there's lots of stuff. I did not read I read Hush, but not I don't think it's called Hush Returns, but it's something. But there's a sequel to Hush where that character comes back and some weird stuff happens that could be interesting, but it's more of a long term repercussion stuff. So maybe that wouldn't work out as well, but. Yeah, Mr. Zazz. Zazz is actually in the
games.
Well, he's in the fucking the what is the Memento director? Christian Bale actor who direct man, Mr. Directing Man, do directings of the Christian Baleses. Who directy man? Yes, Christopher Nolan. Zazz is in the Christopher Nolan ones.
Just like in a background scene, or
no? Oh, he's he's on trial in one of the episodes. Sure. He's in one of the movies, because it's either the first one or the second one. Because Little Miss gets blown up is
a criminal, her and she's one of the attorney, yeah. Or his attorney. That is.
Yeah,
that was the second one. That was the.
No, it was the first one. Because I think it's when he comes back, like with the gun, like he's going to kill. And then, you know, she slaps him because she doesn't like that he was going to kill people. Or I guess that's somebody who confesses before he leaves. But when Bruce is going to shoot somebody because, sure. You know, it's the person who killed his parents, I think Zsasz might be there. But yeah, it's in Batman Begins. And as they're saying, it's more of a cameo than anything. It wasn't like he was a main villain.
Mm. Yep.
But, okay, but the main thrust is whoever you bring back, please, enough with the jokies.
Yeah. I mean, I have yet to see the Joker as in the Joaquin Phoenix one, which I hear is good, but it is a delve into...
It's not a Batman movie. Yeah. It's Taxi Driver with face paint.
Okay.
That's really all it is. If you like Taxi Driver, it's Taxi Driver with face paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Taxi Driver is a good film. It's a horrible study into into mental illness, but yep. It's not a horrible study. But I mean, yeah, I don't think they try to make light of it.
No,
either of those films.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there was always the concern with when you make a Joker movie of having Joker be the hero of the story or justifying their behavior and whatnot. But it's definitely one of those films like Taxi Driver or like Fight Club. Or whatever, where just because they're the main character doesn't mean that they're the person you're supposed to agree with. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between protagonist and hero. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the toxic part of like the Rick and Morty fan club that think that Rick is some super cool, awesome guy. And it's like, no, Rick is a sociopath piece of shit.
Yeah, he's...
Rick is the villain of that show. And if you don't understand that, you need to re-examine who you are. Like, they even have an episode where a psychiatrist faces directly at the camera and explains that Rick is fucked up and wrong. And people are still like, ugh, that dumb bitch. It's like, you're an idiot.
And then you get things that happen to poor McDonald's.
Yeah.
Where people are rioting because they can't get Szechuan sauce. Yeah. Oh, is that coming back because Mulan's coming out?
Well, it already came back once. I don't know if it'll come back again.
I think it's supposed to.
But as Jim mentioned in chat, King of Comedy is probably a better fit than Taxi Driver, but Taxi Driver is more well-known, so that's kind of the easier one to mention. It's almost like a combo of King of Comedy and Taxi Driver, because you get the individual downfall Taxi Driver style, and then you get the whole obsession angle of King of Comedy. So it's almost like a bastard love child of those two movies. But if you're going to be a nihilistic bastard love child of two films, King of Comedy and Taxi Driver are two great films.
Man, I would say, so we're kind of talking about movies, we're talking about other things coming out. I am actually excited to watch Mulan.
Yeah, it could be okay.
It's one of the Disney remakes that honestly does not feel anything like a remake. It feels, I mean, I've only seen Mulan maybe twice in my life, but that live action just looks good.
And there are differences in it that you can see in the trailer. So it is, of all the live action films, it does feel the most like they are doing Mulan again versus they are remaking Mulan, you know, which yes. Is subtly different, but still a different thing. Yeah. Like they did, if it's a different enough take to not just be, hey, but this time it's CGI, so give us $1 billion again, like they did with Lion King. Like, Lion King is a fucking abomination. It did not need to exist. And it's just offensive that it made all that money. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody should have seen that goddamn movie. Just watch the original. It's literally the same film, but better. But this does look like it's a new take, so it could be interesting in that way. And maybe that'll make it the first live-action remake that they've done that isn't the goddamn worst. I've hated them all. I don't know if you guys liked any of them, but I've hated every single one of them.
I've had no desire to see any of the other ones. Yeah. And this is the first time that I've seen a trailer that, like, fuck, I think I really want to see this. As compared to, like, The Lion King, I mean, you could even see it in the trailers where nobody feels like they're emoting anything. And, again, I saw Lion King, the original, in the theaters, And that was an amazing film.
But did you think that what the original Lion King needed was to be entirely gray and have no emoting or dancing or singing or joy at all?
No.
That wasn't what you thought it needed?
No. Huh,
interesting. I guess Disney disagreed with you. Yeah. Beauty and the Beast, were you like, hey, what this needs is for Belle's mom to die of the plague and the Beast to have a magical teleporty book?
I never liked the Beauty and the Beast, so that's one reason.
Maybe you would have liked it more if the Beast had a book that let him teleport to any place and time. Like, Beast has a literal time travel machine.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you really need. Because if the whole thing is that he's trapped in that castle away from humanity and he only has the mirror that he can use to view from afar and that's just more bittersweet. Well, I mean, why don't you just undermine that with a fucking magical transporting time machine book?
How about, is he closer to Meatloaf in this one?
No.
Because one of Meatloaf's videos was basically Beauty and the Beast.
Did he have the ability to teleport to any time and place he wanted to, thus
nullifying the entire curse? Yeah, I think the new version is better then. I have to pee really bad. So you guys get the vamp for a couple seconds.
Okay, bye. I haven't watched Aladdin either. I've given up on the live action remakes.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of them. I have never seen any media around them that gave me any desire to watch any of them.
My problem with Aladdin is not. I have to say that if you're gonna redo Aladdin, Will Smith is a perfectly fine replacement for Robin Williams.
Yeah.
He could be a fresh take on it. No pun intended, because he's the French prince. Yeah. There, not the French prince. The little prince.
We'll go with it, though.
He was the little prince. He had the rose and the goat, and he teleported into space using dandelion seeds.
Yeah.
Maleficent. The first Maleficent was okay, I thought. I did not see the second one. I heard nothing but bad things about it, but the first Maleficent was okay. It did the same thing as Frozen with the whole true love not necessarily having to be romantic love, which is all right. True story. I don't know if you saw Maleficent either, but that doesn't count as a remake because it's, you know, it's more like Wicked isn't a remake of The Wizard of Oz because it's a telling from the other point of view.
Yeah. I did see that when it was shown here a few years ago.
I was going to see it two days ago.
Then the plague happened.
Motherfuckers.
Yep.
Goddamn coronavirus.
Yep.
What?
Coronavirus.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's back.
All right.
I'm back. Hey, Nathan, are you excited about coronavirus? Delaying the new James Bond film?
Oh, I didn't. it's doing so much.
Is that
much.
A good thing?
I mean, it's probably a good thing that James Bond is being delayed, but.
Why is that?
Well, because it may be permanently delayed.
How dare you?
Because the last couple of James Bonds have been. The worst.
Spectre really, really hurt. But I enjoyed Casino Royale.
Everyone could enjoy Casino Royale.
And I am one of the people who will defend to the day I die Quantum of Solace. I absolutely love Quantum of Solace, even if the magical exploding anchor doesn't make any sense. Skyfall is okay. The issue with Skyfall is that you start having the psychic villain who, like, how did he know that the train was gonna go through right at that exact moment, exactly in between his line and Bond shooting? You know, you get that shit, which is a little rough. Also, if you're going to have somebody be bait for an assassination attempt, and the way you have them be bait is you leak out the fact that they're at a certain location, maybe don't actually have them be there.
Mm-hmm.
Claiming they were there was all you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They could be somewhere else, and then they don't die, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. Mistakes by characters are not plot holes. They are just mistakes by characters. I am fine with all three of those. Spectre. Fuck-a-doodle-doo, Spectre. God, that hurt. Hurt so bad.
I haven't seen it. That's basically the one where they make it so the main villain was the one that was controlling all the other villains.
And that's even fine too, where you have
sorry. I didn't mean to I kind of did mean to bring it up.
The series was building up Quantum. And so to have Quantum just be a bait and switch for Spectre. Fine. Spectre's been the big baddie organization for the entire history of Bond. I can deal with that. But the Blofeld being Bond's adopted brother thing is entirely unnecessary.
I have not seen Spectre, so that
they have it. That's a plot. When Blofeld was a little bitty boy,
yeah,
Bond, like, I don't know if it was a car accident, he was an orphan, whatever. So Bond's an orphan. Blofeld's family took Bond in and raised him as their own. So is Bond is Blofeld's, like, Ersatz adopted brother. Blofeld is jealous about how much attention that Bond got when they were kids, so that's why he's evil towards Bond.
It's just a jealous brother thing? Mom, yes, always liked you best?
Correct.
Thing?
What the? So that's nonsense. And just little stuff like, so like, Odd Job, right?
Yeah.
He's got his hat.
Yeah.
He throws his hat. He kills people with his hat.
Who throws a hat?
Honestly. So how does Bond kill him? He throws his hat. He electrocutes him. He dies because of his own hat. Hoist by your own petard.
Yeah.
Jaws. He's got his metal teeth.
Yeah.
He bites people with his metal teeth. So how does Bond kill him? With his metal teeth. Hoist by your own petard.
Yeah.
Bautista, Inspector. He's got thumb knives. He wears like these rings with spikes on his thumbs, and he gouges people's eyes with his thumb knives.
Ooh, very gruesome.
Really brutal. He's got these thumb knives. So how does Bond beat him? He throws him off a train.
Well, yeah.
No thumb knives, no nothing.
Yeah. No ticket.
Yeah, exactly. He no tickets him. Chekhov's thumb knives.
Yeah. Well, and how would you be? Okay. Would you just have Bond wear some indestructible glasses?
I'd have him turn his own thumb knives on him. Or like he goes to thumb knife him and Bond ducks and the thumb knives go into a circuit box and electrocute him. Something.
Because that's how everyone dies is by electricity. Because that's how Jaws died. He'd been to a electric thing.
Something with the goddamn thumb knives. They capture Bond. He's at the evil plant. He gets out and he looks over and there's just like one dial like on a thing sticking up, and he just shoots it once and the whole thing explodes, and then they just apparently walked back to London because the next scene he's just in London. And that was the climax. It's like, what? Fuck you, Spectre. You started with like a 2-minute long single shot sequence that was really cool, and then you just diarrheaed in my mouth the entire rest of the film.
I want to see the animated. No, I don't.
So bad. So fucking frustrating. And the problem is that I make it sound like it was bad, like actively, but it was more just like boring and hollow and empty. And so I was bored more than angry, because at least if I'm angry, I can be angry and that's something. I just sat there just wishing I was dead for 2 hours, and then the movie was over, and I'm like, Jesus,
when the point of a movie
what
is
has you, happened when, to Bond?
When the point of the movie is that you don't wish you're dead for 2 hours?
Yeah. It was just like, oh, man, I wish that didn't exist.
Yeah, I know Jim and I, we tried watching, I think it was Skyfall, and we couldn't make it through halfway of the film. And that's supposed to be better than Spectre, so. I've heard a lot of people that are more diehard Bond fans just dislike Spectre. I think it's probably the most disliked out of the new ones.
And Skyfall and Spectre both annoy me. Spectre just because it was fucking terrible, but Skyfall also because, as I was trying to say, you're building up your series, right? So it's a soft reboot. You got your new Bond. Everything's fresh. Go. So in the first movie, you have some shadowy organization destroy an aspect of Bond's life, hurt him deep morally, financially, kill the woman he loves, bam.
Yeah.
Second movie, he drags that organization out into the light. He finds out about Quantum, who they are. He identifies members of Quantum. They are an entity that is known and in the open, and the battle lines are drawn that he is ready to take down Quantum. The third movie, there's no Quantum. They're just not in the series anymore. We decided it's just some random dude with a melty face. And then the fourth movie, they put Inspector. It's like, what? It's like if Endgame didn't have Thanos, right? Like Infinity War. Like, imagine Infinity War and Endgame didn't happen. They build all the way up to there, and in Infinity War, just Dr. Doom shows up and goes, "Forget all that shit. I'm your villain now for one movie," and then it's over. It's like, but no, we built up Thanos. You built up the Infinity Gauntlet, and now you're just not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful they didn't do that in Rise of Skywalker.
Fuck. Excuse you, Goswan 70. Jaws 2 is the one where Jaws died of electrocution. Jaws 3 is the one where it dies of a hand grenade being held by the guy that's been living in its mouth for the entire movie.
Yep.
In Jaws 4, he gets speared by a boat.
And then, yeah, and then explodes.
I watched Jaws 4 so many times.
So fucking bad.
It's so bad. But man, as a kid, I enjoyed it. I still remember the stupid shocky, the thing where we have the noise thing that would shock him and he'd come flying out of the water.
Yeah, because that's all stuff you had in the NES game, which is better than people get it credit for. The Jaws and Nintendo game was all right. But I did like in the, I think it was in the Ebert review of Jaws, it said, who referring to the shark, it said, who wouldn't want revenge against the widow of the man who killed them? Jaws 4, the revenge. Yeah. Like, this is just a random shark. Like, there is no Jaws. It's not like there's a shark named Jaws. There are just four movies with random unrelated sharks. Mm-hmm. And for some reason in the fourth one, the shark can teleport and hates this one woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is it revenge?
Could you recut that film as her sitting on a psychiatrist's couch, and then just kind of just cut parts of the scenes out, kind of almost do it like the Deadpool 2 retelling.
Sure. I mean, you could. You can do anything with CGI.
Yeah. I think that would explain the movie a lot.
As if none of it happened?
If none of it happened, it was all figments of her imagination.
Yeah. I wish it was figments of our imagination. Fucking Jaws 4. How you make a movie worse than Jaws 3D, I don't know.
All right, I gotta go shortly.
What? Oh, let's Zupa grapple then real quick. You gotta get out of here early. Is it because the Westworlds are coming back?
No.
Oh, okay. Because the Westworlds is back.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm gonna give that a shot. I really didn't like season 2, but the season 3 trailer has me like, maybe.
Season 2 had good moments. It was very up and down. They made some bad decisions, but there were some good moments in there as well. But nothing was ever going to be as good as season 1.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to season 1, season 2. I think they did that too much.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of timeline fuckeries, and it didn't need it at all. You could have just told us the whole timeline as you went through.
Season 1 only had 2 timelines, and it mattered for the plot, and it was a good usage of that. Season 2, they're just like, well, we'll just have 10 timelines, and it'll be better. No, it's just garbage. Zappity.
Grumbo. My Facebooks are going fucking weird.
There's one in the chat that I can remember while you're finding it, which was, because you're going to be quarantined with the Corvids, what you going to do that you should have been doing, but you weren't doing... I'm going to rip up the tile in my dining room to expose the hardwood floor.
I'm going
to
paint minis. Mm-hmm. And I have actually had my kids involved in painting minis because they wanted to. And I found out that my son likes Signar colors. And my daughter is apparently a Death Knight.
Loyalist dark blue Signar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, medium blue and gold.
You're splitting the difference. You're not willing to go light blue with the traitor or dark blue with the true king. You're just kind of like hedging your bets.
Yeah, yeah, but
libertarian Signar centrist.
Yeah, my daughter though is apparently a Death Knight because I took a couple of old Sword Knight models because they're
cool models.
They're decent models. They're easy to paint.
Full of them.
They're easy to paint and they're useless on the table. And so I mean my son painted them in Signar colors, which was fine. And my daughter who was younger had painted up in black and red and said the red is pure blood. And I'm like, okay. Yep. And my wife said, should we be concerned that she says that the red on there is blood? I was like, yeah, she's our kid. I mean, we should be expecting this by now.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that red is one of the first two colors every culture names.
Yeah.
Like, historically, every culture invents colors in the same order.
Yeah.
Because that's just how we are. And it always starts with black and red, and then green gets added. Blue is surprisingly late in it. Like, even the ancient Greeks would describe the wine-colored sea. As opposed to it being blue.
Yellow is the one after. Is the one after blue, but apparently at some point there was overlap between the two.
Maybe. Zappity.
Anyway, Grumble.
Well, you're not going to ask me?
Oh, you were going to find the Zappity Grumble questions.
Yeah, but I could answer that too.
Okay. No, I meant that was your answer. is what you're going to do while you're quarantined is find the Zappity Grumble questions. No, what's your actual answer?
I'll play more WoW.
Fuck you.
Oh, God.
Play more WoW.
Zappity.
Or play some Overwatch, and I want to have friends play with me in Overwatch.
Do you have me online? I play Overwatch terribly.
I don't care.
Okay, ping me. We'll play.
We're going to get people in chat and have entertaining streams of us playing Overwatch.
Zappity, did you watch Castlevania 3 season?
No.
Not yet. No.
That was a quick one, Grumble.
None of us did.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I watched season 1. I didn't watch season 2.
I watched 1 was good. 2, I haven't watched yet.
Andrew Grove asks, Zappity, Grumble, that's it. No. What's the thing on the table between the Transformers and Toothless? And that is Ragnaros.
He's a guy in WoW. He's like, I'm made out of glavas and I got hammer. Grr.
Yep.
By fire be purged.
Yep. Zappity.
He's selling fire?
Yeah.
That's why he wants you to buy fire?
Yeah. Grumble.
Buy fire, be purged.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically Menoth's motto. Yeah. It would be a great t-shirt that just says, buy fire, be purged. With the picture of Fiora on there. Zappity.
Grumble.
What are the best board and card games that could be played online via communication, such as Skype? Just about anything, but if you go to Steam, you can get a tabletop simulator, and it has everything. Like, I even saw somebody playing online on a stream on it with Resident Evil 2. Not the amazing remade version that Capcom put out, but the one that Steamforge put out that's not as good as any other dungeon crawl that's out there.
I have 3 extra copies of Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, check that
reasons.
Out. It's a really good one.
All right.
If you have a computer that can run Skype, you can run Tabletop Simulator pretty much.
Also, like classic card games and stuff. Play Pinochle. Like, these games were classics for hundreds of years for a reason. Pinochle's, Canasta. Play some of those things.
I'm not going to play Costanza. It sounds like a loser game.
You know what's great? Dominoes. Dominoes is a great game. Mm-hmm. There's a game? There is. It isn't just stand them up and tip them over.
It's also get food 10 delivered
to score
15
to get on.
You call Dominoes and they give you pizza and COVID-19.
Play Dominoes. I recommend playing 10 minimum to score 15 to get on board. When you play with 5 scoring, it's too onesie-twosie. Yep. Make them earn their points. 10 minimum. Mm-hmm. That'll make sense if you learn how to play
I can't
Dominoes.
Eat 10 pizzas, so.
Papa John's did it.
Could I get 8 breads and then 2 pizzas? Could I do that?
You can do whatever you want. There are people who choose not to get on that bus. Dave, did you have a thing?
I don't know. I have never played a board or card game online.
Jinki, play Chinese chess. More people need to play Chinese chess, and there's online versions of that.
Grumble. Probably on Tabletop Simulator.
Probably.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Since we're all bound to be quarantined eventually, what is the best bad movie with a high pieces big name actor?
You skipped the question that said you're not allowed to avoid this question?
No, I'm. It's probably in a different order.
Oh, okay.
Than what you see.
That's fine. That is in a different order.
What is the best bad movie with a high prices big name actor?
You know what one has a lot of high price big name actors and is just inexplicable? And I think most of us have seen it, but not recently. And you should watch it now while drunk and or high on shrooms, ironically enough, is the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Also,
Dennis Hopper, Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, freaking mechanical shoes and T-Rexes and tiny headed Goombas. And the king is a fungus. It's insanity.
I don't think you can use the word Goomba.
It's just insanity.
Also, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ugh.
I mean, which one would you rather watch?
I would rather watch the Super Mario Brothers movie. I would.
League?
League is so bad.
I really, really like Jekyll and Hyde in that movie, though.
They are the silver lining.
Yeah.
They're the silver lining, but good Lord. Man alive, that movie is bad. That movie is almost as bad as the second League of Extraordinary Gentlemen trade paperback was.
Oh.
I hated the second trade paperback.
I like the League of Extraordinary ones that were in C-Lab. We have Quetzalcoatl,
sure.
Billy the Kid, I think.
Yeah. No, it was Huck Finn.
Huck Finn, yes.
It was Huck Finn, Quetzalcoatl, and
Frenchie.
Imhotep and Frenchie.
Yeah, basically all guys you can't understand, and Huck Finn, who can't understand them.
Dave?
Yeah.
What was your shitty movie with an actor demeaning themselves?
Is it Robert De Niro in Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Is it Raul Julia in Street Fighter?
Raul Julia in Street Fighter is a fantastic one.
Yeah. So I was lobbing that alley-oop so you could just dunk it straight through.
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Boom, zappity. Thank you.
Grumble. Do you still have, and if so, what is it, the first model you have ever painted?
Yes, it's a Chaos Space Marine from 20-something years ago, and it is somewhere in my shelf.
No, it would have been one of the Hero Quest models, and I don't have that copy of Hero Quest from when I was a child. But I do have a ceramic T-Rex with light-up eyes that I painted when I was even younger, but it's not a model.
Sure.
But still, it's the first thing I painted.
I think my first models I really painted was an undead team for Blood Bowl. I do have them. Yes.
Zoopy. Boomble.
It was actually one of the mummies, which I called
Bernie. We zooped already. Yep. You should have said it during the question. Okay. The lightning has crashed and old mother died. Her placenta fell to the floor.
That movie, or that song is amazing.
It's a good song.
It's a good song, yeah.
That's a good album. Throwing Copper is a great album.
Oh, man.
It's one of those, like, there's one hit wonders and there's one album wonders where they somehow release this amazing album and then go away forever. And Throwing Copper by Live...
Nobody. The other ones are, but they're not Throwing Copper. Yeah. Throwing Copper is such a good. There's a show that was called Strange Luck that was on Fox. So it only lasted one season because it was on Fox.
And it was good.
It was a good show. It was basically about a guy who's the only survivor of a plane crash, and it just surrounds about all weird luck about that. And there is an episode that involved with him. There was a guy that was going to be killed who was on death row. He was going to be killed at midnight. And the whole episode was them trying to get him off death row.
Because he was at death row. Yeah. I'm like, that's really awkward. Like, the guy just needs one final orgasm. I mean, that's nice of him to try to get this guy off, but.
No, but he was trying to get him off death row. And just because of somebody came at the last second and confessed to the crime that this guy was on. And they were trying to save him, but just a ton of bad luck. And it just. They used Throwing Copper's Lightning Crashes in that song, and it has a montage in there that is probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen on television.
Neat.
Trying to save his life.
Zappity.
And that show has not been on fucking video since then.
Nope, that's what they do.
Grumble.
But review... Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. Continue with questions. I will not sidetrack this now.
Well, we could sidetrack. They can go whenever.
Nope.
What type of planet does your faction from Warcaster come from? You are not allowed to avoid this question.
I believe they come from Kane, right? Don't all the factions come from from Imran, right?
Well, sure.
What planet is Imran on? Imran's the continent. What's the planet that it's on?
Imran is the planet, I think, isn't it? No, Kane. Kane is
the material plane.
The point is, I'm technically correct, and it pissed off Travis. Game, set, match.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Which other beers deserve to have a virus named after them? I think two women should be one, because you could be saying you're quarantined into your house because of two women.
Travis is never watching us again. Yeah. Any IPA is good, but no, two women is good because, you know, Andy had to stay home from work. He's got two women. You got two women. Stay away from me. I don't want two women.
Yeah. Or Moon Man.
Yeah. No, any IPA, just because they fucking are terrible. Or Red Dog. That'd be a good disease name. Red Dog.
Red Stripe. I got Red Stripe.
Red Stripe. It's beer. Beer good.
Hooray!
Hooray beer. That's what it was. Hooray beer. Sam Adams Boston Winter Lager.
What's wrong with that?
It'd just be a great name for them to have to say every single time on the news when discussing the pandemic.
Yeah.
The Sam Adams Boston Winter Lager pandemic.
Okay, yeah, that works.
All right, Zavity.
Grumble.
The world is your oyster. What's the pearl?
The friends we made along the way.
Zavity.
I don't know.
Okay, Zavity. Grumble.
Grumble.
If you have to play through the worst game of your... Wait, if you have to play through the worst game you have ever played to save your best friend other's life, what game is it?
I think it's Nathan and I playing Munchkin together.
Ugh. Oh, my God. A game of Munchkin. Man, sorry, Andy.
presented to you by the guy who showed up with all the expansions for Munchkin at that one play game.
When we walked in the door for that game demo day, and the guy had a whole wall of Munchkin boxes set up, I'm just like, oh, friend. What life decisions have led you here to this wall of Munchkin expansions?
That's definitely not the pearl.
That is the sand that you build the pearl around.
Yeah, because it would have to be Nathan. It would be Nathan and I playing Munchkin together because our shared hatred of the game would just make it so much worse.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. We'd each try to throw the game. Because we could almost make it a co-op game, right, at that point. What you need is two other people, like what happened with my brother and I and my niece and nephew, where he and I were trying to make it a co-op game to get one of them winning. We didn't fucking care which one, but they kept stopping us.
Because it was like 10 minutes in, Nathan and I would be thinking, it's like, so how much do we actually like this person?
Right?
Exactly.
Grumble.
Would you rather eat the worst version of your favorite meal or the best version of your most hated meal?
I would rather have the best version of my most hated meal in the hopes that maybe it would convert me. That I could see what people like about it.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Like, Raylene just went to South Carolina, and she had a meal cooked by one of the people who was, like, a finalist on Top Chef one of the seasons. Like, sure. It's one of those, like, five-course meals that's, like, hundreds of dollars per person and whatever. And there was, like, a sea bass course. And Raylene hates fish unless they're fried and covered in a gallon of tartar sauce, as God intended. Mm. And she said that that was, like, orgasmically good. And she understands the concept of a fish course now. And I would hope that I would get that, but for fucking chicken teriyaki or any of that other crap that people eat, even though it's terrible.
Yeah, I think I would go with that. You added a lot more to the story, but yeah. I think that would be fair enough.
Yeah, for the same reason, I hate seafood, but if you want to throw some fantastically crafted seafood, I'll give it a shot.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You'll make a convert out of us.
Yeah, maybe we'll make a convert, because otherwise, what are you going to do? Grab a pizza out of a dumpster? I mean, that's just going to be worse.
Oh, I just had a shitty overcooked steak, you know, like, all right, that sucked. Yeah. Whereas maybe it turns out I like salmon risotto or whatever.
Yeah. Grumble, Zappity.
If you could mash up a movie with a Marvel and or DC characters, whom would you choose to star in one?
What?
What?
If you could mash up a movie with Marvel and or DC characters, whom would you choose to star in one?
But what were we mashing it with?
I don't know. I think it'd be like Wolverine and...
So do we have to pick one? Because the and or's throwing me.
Yeah.
Do I have to have a Marvel and a DC? Because if so, I want the next Asgardians of the Galaxy to interact with my beloved Section 8.
Fair.
I will fight for anything Section 8 to happen until the day I die, and I would love to see Rocket and Groot and whatnot interacting with them.
That sounds great.
Or Section 8 and Deadpool.
Yeah.
That could also work.
Zabity.
You got nothing?
I don't want to answer. I mean, Dave wants to go home, so I'm trying to...
We can still answer. I'm trying to be fast.
All right. Doctor Strange tries to kill Batman. Zappity Grumble. Let's go.
Ooh.
There was a cool sequence that was happening in I think it was Endgame. That they showed videos of, or they didn't show videos of, but they showed a screenshot of it, of Doctor Strange wearing Iron Man's armor, and Iron Man's, so instead of the reactor,
eye of Agamotto.
it has the eye of Agamotto there instead, and then had the cloak over on Iron Man.
Neat.
And Tony Stark. So that's a mashup. Zappity. I want to see that.
Grumble.
Grumble. What's your waking up theme song, other than what song you were complaining about being stuck in your head?
Oh, I'll go with Disco Duck. Start the day with Disco Duck. I recommend it. Because you want to start the day with a song you hate. Because if you try to have a wake-up song that you like, you will hate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this a song to wake up to or your theme music in the morning?
Both.
Both?
Because whatever song you wake up to is your theme song. Okay. Because every episode of Dave is starting with this song.
Yeah. Context is you wake up, a song plays in your head entirely, whether you know the lyrics or not.
Land of Confusion, the Disturbed cover.
I'm not a fan of that one at all.
I'm not a fan of Disco Duck.
Yeah, fair enough.
What do you want from me, man?
Mine is Banana Phone.
Sure. Zappity. Banana Phone. Ring.
Yep.
Disco Duck.
Would you put your brain in
also,
a robot?
Also, fuck you, Land of Confusion. Fuck you, Genesis. I won't be coming home tonight. My generation's going to set it right. We're not just making promises. We're not going to keep... Fuck you. You didn't set shit right, you goddamn boomers. You eat my ass, Genesis. You fuckers.
The only reason why I watched that video was for the puppets.
Sure, the puppets are great. And the fucking set it right. Fuck you, whatever your name is. Phil Collins, you liar. You didn't set shit right, Phil Collins. We believed you. Sorry, Zappity.
Okay, would you put your brain in a robot body?
Sure.
Sure.
This body sucks.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
If
I had the funding to do it, I would go full Borg. Why would I want this shitty, fleshy sack of garbage?
Exactly.
I just need my brain and sensors so I can feel pleasure when I touch things.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else is necessary.
I would go full Captain Murphy. I want a robot body, an Adrian Barbobot, with two double Ds filled with justice.
Sure.
And two chainsaws for hands.
This is crap, right? Like anything I could do would be an upgrade. Why wouldn't I do that?
That is an amazing
episode. The only reason I would not consider putting my brain into a robot body is if something like a tank was available instead.
Because that is a robot. Yeah. We don't say it has to be humanoid bipedal. Like if I can be like Kane from RoboCop 2, come on, I'm sold.
Yeah,
I'm sold.
You still your thing with the grippy hands for the nuke to go into you.
Yeah,
that's like my favorite.
Give me crack. Need that crack. And I'd have to live indefinitely, but I still could die. So it's not full the curse of immortality. Like I still could die. Also, super awesome robot body.
Yeah.
You should literally just go and watch the C-Lab 2021 episode with the robot bodies. Oh, it's so good.
Zappity.
Grumble. I didn't know if there was any for Twitter, but if somebody wants to go through recommendations, I'll see if there's one in Twitter.
I am going to make a recommendation that was also almost a tangent, but I stopped the tangent because I knew I was going to recommend it now. Review is now available on the DVDs. You can own Review, the television show, on DVD, and it is goddamn amazing. It is 2.5 seasons of the best satirical comedy you'll ever watch in your fucking life. It's so good. Buy Review.
Is it hard to find still?
It is not, because now it actually exists. Like, if you go on Amazon and say, like, Review DVD, it actually does find it.
Oh, okay.
I will recommend the new flavor of Mountain Dew, which is Mountain Dew Zero, because apparently Coke Zero has caught on, and now Pepsi is duplicating that, is ripping off their brand on everything. Although Pepsi Zero was ass, but Mellow Yellow or Mountain Dew Zero, is actually really good. Try it.
Wow, there is a few in here. Okay, that was already for Warcaster. These are old ones. Ooh.
Yeah, those are probably Good job.
8th of March, somebody's... How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Yes.
How many bottle caps are enough?
Yeah.
No.
None, man. Which vault are you planning on retreating into?
Oh, man. No, well, now that we know the secret, Vault 101, right? Or Vault 11, God damn it, the election one. Like, now that I know that all we have to do is not sacrifice somebody and remember from New Vegas? Never with the elections? I won't go into it now. Fuck. There's a vault in New Vegas that is one of the greatest experiences of passive storytelling, where you're discovering all these logs and everything, and you're finding out what happened in this vault, and it is absolutely masterful. And that's the vault, because since I now know what goes on in the vault, I can stop the horrors from happening.
I'm really surprised that Bethesda hasn't released Fallout 3. For new systems, that is. I mean, because, I mean, sure. they've released everything else that they've done recently for new systems.
Yeah. I think they're worried that if they release Fallout 3, people would understand that Fallout 76 is utter shit, because, you know, they'd have something more recent to compare it to.
Jim Sterling's take on Fallout recently has been...
They forgot to put Fallout in their Fallout. Yeah.
And they were talking like about the devs and how they had said that they were expecting the whole world just to be PvP in that. And they were like, wait, people don't want to play the game like that? That doesn't make any sense. Which at that then does make sense how they made that game be that way, kind of.
You know how at the end of the year, like December 31st happens and then January 1st happens and we increase the number that we use to refer to the year by one?
Mm-hmm.
Bethesda doesn't.
Yeah, I know. So one last Appity Grumble is, which is your favorite hero in Riot Quest and why? I honestly like Butcher 4, but because he just looks mean. I haven't played Riot Quest.
Played Riot Quest with this hero, but I looked at the card after I bought this person to play in War Machine. But Destructotron actually looks really good in Riot Quest. Like, you know, I bought him for War Machine, but the cards came with, and I looked at the card, I'm like, holy moly, I could play this guy.
Yeah, I like Harlow the Gun Archon, but that's just because he's good in War Machine.
Yeah. And the bomber dude's cool, too. The little gobber with the fucking grenades.
Yeah.
Because gobbers are great. I love gobbers.
Gobbers are pretty good.
What's your recommendation so Dave can go home?
My recommendation is to go with your Switch or Steam or whatever it is, go and get Blaster Master Zero, and then immediately get Blaster Master Zero 2, because both games are amazing. Blaster Master Zero is just it's a retelling, redone, remastered version of Blaster Master for the NES.
Is it with the frog, or is it the original Japanese version?
It's with the frog.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're traveling down a tunnel to go and find your frog. What's the original Japanese version?
I think his school is like kidnapped or something. It's not a frog. Like, there's actual like human lives are in danger.
Nope. You gotta go find your pet frog. The storyline in Blaster Master Zero is not very good, but the gameplay is amazing. The graphics are very akin to the NES graphics, just touched up a little bit, but brought into the 16-bit realm.
Sure. Yeah.
Musically, it's awesome. Blaster Master Zero 2 is continuation of that series, and it just brings a lot more to it. It's really good. I've been having a lot of fun playing it.
Hooray! Goodbye!
Bye.
Oh, that was it? It was just, you wanted to have me?
We already went.
Oh. Yeah. I was staring at my thing.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Bye. We'll see you next week. We love you, Kay. Bye. Hopefully we can cast next week and we're not all quarantined. Bye. Bye.